next week you're going to be out of town for a wedding, but you're kind of going to be back in your old neck of the wood, your old home, your old neck of the woods. What are you, are there any specific things you want to, that you're going to do while you're there?
No, because I'm not going for that long. So it'll be very much. So I'm from Oregon originally. I am going to a wedding that actually was originally intended for October, but due to some family reasons, got moved up to like two weeks, ahead of when they're actually holding the wedding. I was told, oh, we had to move the wedding up, and I'm the best man in the wedding. So, of course, had to take the make the effort to change plans. So yeah, kind of a that'll be interesting because I'm actually flying, I think I told you, to Oregon next Wednesday night. So like, unless we somehow get live TV streaming on the plane, which I think they don't really do as much as they used to, unfortunately. I think only like on maybe Delta or something like that. Do you even get that
They
anymore?
they'll do it on Southwest, but it's like just like the main like CBS and ABC, so you can watch like football games
Sports,
and
yeah.
sports.
Yeah, so we'll figure out the recording piece after that. But yeah, I'm going to it's a town that's about an hour away from Portland, which because you went to a wedding there last year, Hood River, Oregon, which is on the Columbia River Gorge. It's very beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful. I love
So
that
yeah,
area.
exactly. So if I have to attend a wedding that last minute, that's a lovely place to attend. So not too worried about that, but I do have to write a speech for it, as I think I told you. So, and I have not done that yet. So everybody wish me luck as I try to think of a endearing yet funny speech to
Yeah.
in the span of a week.
Have you've given a best man speech before though, right?
I've given three or four
Mr.
and
Popular.
I was not the best man in all those weddings. I've given speeches at weddings a couple of times when I was not the best man too. And I've been an officiant once, which have you been an officiant before? I feel like you have.
Yeah, one time, yeah. For some friends.
Yeah, that was fun too. So, it's a bit of work, but it's also an honor. So
It is, and I've never given a speech at a wedding besides officiating, but I do like it. I like a little, I've given, sadly, I've given like a eulogy or like things like that before, but the joy of a wedding is so much fun to like add some comedy, some sentimental anecdotes, and just mixing it all together in a pithy way, I think is a fun challenge for a writer, especially writers like us.
it is. It is. And you kind of got to walk the line of like, what's an appropriate joke too, that's not like either too inside, baseball or too roasty.
It is fun after a few drinks when you're at a wedding and someone gets up to a speech and like three or four jokes and you're like, oh, this is a roast.
Sometimes it goes off the rails. Yep.
But then as the part of the bride or groom or bride and bride groom and groom, whatever it might be, I would be cringing and say like, shut up. So yeah, it's a
Yeah.
fine line, but it's a good balance to get a little bit of roasty in there, but appropriately.
People will remember it, I guess, if it's kind of an off-the-rail speech. So, it depends if you want to be memorable. Maybe not a positive memory, but go from there.
Okay.
Let's
Should we?
begin.
Let's do it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to This American Horror Story, an unofficial podcast about the FX hit show American Horror Story. I am your host, Tyler Most, here with my co-host.
Chris Husted. Hey, Tyler. Hey, listeners. Here we are. What a season it's been to get to the penultimate episode with the strikes and the delays, and now the final episode before our finale.
Yeah, nine episodes total. We're almost there. This is episode eight, a little gold man. Yeah, I feel like also for us, for some reason, the season has been like a morning coffee season for the
Yeah,
most part.
it's the grown-up
So
ver season.
yeah, I don't know why that's the case. Before we dig into Little Gold Man, I have to say, as always, you can post on our Facebook, you can reach out to us at thisamericanhorrorstory@gmail.com. I feel like I have not seen many emails come through this season, and maybe that's because people aren't sending them. Maybe it's because people don't have thoughts they want to share in the same way they have our theories in the past. Maybe that's because it's a book, and people kind of already know what's going to happen, so there's not as much surprise. I don't know.
It just feels like this hasn't been as much of a water cooler season, meaning people aren't really chatting about it episode by episode as much as previous seasons or other TV shows that people have gotten into, perhaps.
That's true. And I mean, in a world in which you've got everything from, Fallout, I don't know if you started that.
No,
That's
can't wait.
great. I mean, Three Body Problem people are talking about. There's all these other shows people are getting into right now. So I did watch the first episode of Fallout and it was awesome. So, there's other things people are getting into. It's like, I feel like for this, if this really is truly going to be, if this upcoming season is going to be the last season of American Horror Story, I feel like Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk got to go all in and do something to like make it end with a bang. I don't want to end with a bang instead of a whimper, right?
I feel like, and I may have seen people write about this too, but I feel like it's teeing up like Coven versus Coven versus Coven. Like there's gonna, because we all know that that's at least the writers and producers' favorite seasons are the ones with the witches. And now that we've got this season with its demon witches or whatever they are, could be something where we bring everyone back to the table.
It's just a cameo studded.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
I don't know how I feel about that. Maybe we should talk about that more in our finale episode.
Yeah. Good point.
Okay, so Little Gold Man, directed by Jennifer Lynch, again, written by our same crew of Hallie Pfeiffer, with a little bit of Fred Falchuk and Ryan Murphy there too. Do you want to take us to our cold open, which is set in, I think, 1967?
Yes, I will do that. So we're at a restaurant. There's martinis. It looks very mid-century, jazzy. There's a pixie cut blonde sitting at a table with a man in a suit with very prominent blue eyes. And he asks her how the shoot's going. She's like, I can't tell if I'm brilliant or if I'll never work again. And then some fan runs up to the table and says, Mr. Sinatra, would you autograph this napkin for me? And so then we're like, oh, okay, we know who we're talking about here. This is Frank Sinatra and Mia Farrow. But although we haven't gotten the timestamp letting us know that this is that time yet,
Right.
we're just kind of dropped into this cold. And then as the fan leaves, he looks at Mia Farrow and says, "Oh, and my wife loved you in Peyton Place, Miss Farrow," which was the TV show that Mia Farrow was on. And then he just kind of like walks away, and she's like, "Oh, okay, bye." And then essentially, Frank Sinatra, they're in a relationship of some form, and Frank Sinatra is asking her to choose between him and the movie she's working on. She this is when it gets a little too on the nose again, per usual. She doesn't want to choose. He cuts her off. He's like, don't interrupt me. And if you go back to the set today, we are through. And then she argues that, Bob says she's sure to get an Oscar nom from this film. And then Frank asks her, how do you expect to be a good mother if this is what you're chasing? And she's like, I'll figure it out. Women always do. And he's like, good luck with that. And then he leaves the table. I want to point out in this scene, I did point out that was a little bit too on the nose. But there's a blurry figure at a table next to them as Frank Sinatra is walking away, and it does seem like the silhouette of Nicolette, perhaps. Just
Oh,
something
interesting.
I picked up when I was watching. Anyway,
I did
then
not
we.
oh, I was gonna say, I did not catch that. I was also gonna say, so Frank Sinatra and Mia Farrow were married from 1966 to 1968. So if this was 67, kind of right in the middle of that
Right in the
age.
middle of it. Yep. And yeah. So, and then we get the card that says Manhattan, New York City, 1967. And then we get Mia in her dressing room, putting on a costume baby bump for a movie set, kind of feeling it like she might be considering having a baby or wants to have a baby or is pregnant. Obviously, if you know horror movies in any form and Mia Farrow, this is the set of Rosemary's Baby, one of the most iconic, important horror films done ever. Directed by Roman Polanski, who pops up on scene as Mia's coming out of her in her costume, and he says, "I want you to walk into traffic for this scene, real traffic." That freaks her out. She's approached by this blonde woman who is smoking a cigarette and is, as she calls her, Sharon. So this is Sharon Tate. And at this time, I believe she is married to Roman Polanski.
Yep.
And she's like, "Don't worry about Roman. He's just a pussycat inside." And then she gives this like foreboding. It's interesting. Like, the devil is beautiful, you know. You find him in people you never expect. While she's looking at her, which, if you know Sharon Tate's life trajectory, like getting murdered by a cult while she's pregnant, it's just very ominous and kind of casts this dark cloud over that's already over the show, but over Mia and her troubles. Anyway, she does this. Mia does this scene. She walks out of traffic. It does freak her out. And then she goes back to her dressing room. And all of a sudden, the fake belly costume that she's wearing starts moving like something's in it. She starts bleeding. And then she starts bleeding a lot. And then there's a knock on the door. And there's a very familiar voice saying, "Mia, I can help you if you let me take it off." So she takes it off. She rips off the stuffed belly. And it turns out it was just like a hallucination. There's no blood, there's no baby moving in her. And then she opens the door, and if you recognize the voice, you know who it's gonna be. It's Siobhan. And she's there, and Mia asks, like, "How did you know?" And Siobhan says, "Women's intuition." And then boom, you get the title sequence. What did you think
That's
about
fine.
this, Tyler?
You know, I think I had read, and I think this is obvious, that partly why they did a reference back to Rosemary's Baby was because there's been a lot of comparisons between
It kind of
Rosemary's
felt
Baby
forced
and
to.
Delicate. Yeah, you know, for anyone who hasn't seen the movie, just a very, very short summary. It's about a young wife who suspects her neighbors convinced her husband to make a deal with the devil in exchange for her unborn child's success. So what does that sound like, right? So there's a lot of crossover themes there. And obviously, I think with what you talked about, what happened to Sharon Tate, you know, and I think this, did we even cover this? There was some Manson talk in American Horror Story Cult, if I recall.
I agree, yeah.
And, you know, it was the Charles Manson cult that killed Sharon Tate again while she was pregnant. And I believe the whole thing with Charles Manson is that they were told to do so by the devil, right? Like, so again, there's a lot of crossover reference. There's a lot of material there that feels very relevant to what's been happening in this particular season. You know, as far as the reveal of Siobhan being back there, I should say she holds up the script for Rosemary's Baby at the end.
In
The
case you didn't get it.
insinuation, the well, and also I think the insinuation there being similar to the auteur, maybe that she was somehow responsible for putting the movie into the world is how I took it a little bit too.
I didn't go there, but that makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. Like, Roman Polanski perhaps had to give something up, which.
Or the Bob, who I think was the writer of Rosemary's Baby, because they mention that name too.
I thought they were talking about like
Bob
Bob
Levin.
Weinstein or
I
something.
think it's Bob Levin, who I think was.
Ah, that makes more sense. So it is a very parallel experience that Anna.
Oh, Ira Levin. Ira Levin. Where did I hear Bob come from then? I sorry, Ira
She
Levin is
does
the
say
name.
Bob, and she's like,
Yeah.
Bob says it's gonna be a, I'll get nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
But I think
Yeah,
that would be a producer like Bob Weinstein.
maybe.
If this is where a film buff guest would help. Well, we're film buffs,
Yeah.
a film historian.
Yeah, somebody who goes even deeper than that. But anyway, you know, that was the way I took that insinuation when she held up the script too. You know, it's still interesting because, again, we have not seen Siobhan in any of the, this is her first time being in any kind of the historical flashbacks. I think that's a little calculated. Obviously, in this episode, we don't get any Ivy. I don't think we have any Nicolette. We don't have any what's Adeline's sister's name?
Oh yeah,
So
the
Sonia. We
artist,
don't
Sonia, yeah.
have Sonia, and we don't have any of the other witches, is the point I'm making. Like, it's a very Siobhan focused episode. But oh, man, okay, I've got feelings about this episode, so I'm excited to dig into the
Yeah.
meat of it with you. I will say that I kind of appreciated this cold open because I was actually surprised at how many crossovers there were. I think the one thing that like is not Again, obviously the Frank Sinatra monologue is a little bit on the nose. Again, it's like kind of the very, it's almost a stereotype now of like this
Yeah.
asshole career man.
Kind of tired of this character.
Yeah, and also she's not really pregnant, so the fact that like that was, I don't know, I feel like they were stretching a little bit there, and like, oh, they were like looking at their histories and they're like, oh, she actually was not pregnant yet, so how can we make this?
This,
Yeah.
yeah, I'll just briefly say, like, I did not like this. I'm getting kind of tired of the revisionist history of, these iconic figures and celebrities getting
Fair
worked
enough.
into stories, so it looks like it, like they did something or they're part of this bigger story. It takes away from the intimate experience that Anna's going through as a, and then it just tries to broaden it so big that I don't need this giant conspiracy that's
Yeah.
worldwide, global, throughout centuries.
Well, and that's a good point. That's a really good point, because it's not really building on.
It adds
Each
nothing.
time this, the only thing we're potentially adding here is the fact that, oh, we see that Siobhan was also in history. But
Yeah.
that's like, we kind of already figured that. So you're right. I think, I guess it's not really adding anything to the narrative. But let's dive into, oh, sorry, go ahead.
It's a classic American Horror Story move, though. Let's find a historic figure and work them into this story, you know?
Right.
Anyway, we can move on.
Well, so diving into the meat of this episode, we start on Dex's mother's funeral. So well, everyone will remember we didn't see Dex's mother, dead. It was two episodes ago. That was the end of opening night, where Dex got home and the blood was coming through the ceiling, and he ran up to the bathtub. He's in the midst of giving a eulogy when Miss Preacher storms the funeral and insists that this is how I took this. She insists that she told Dexter that his mother was at risk, or was she, or did you take it as she was telling, she told Anna that Dexter's mother was at risk?
I took it as she told Dex.
That's what I thought too. That's what I thought too. Okay.
You did not listen to your mother. Like, you should have listened to her. And now you need to listen to your wife.
Right. And then she gets dragged out. Well, so we'll remember that the last time we saw Dex's mother alive is that she had a meeting with Miss Preacher, or Miss Preacher told her about her own experience, right? And again, in the flashback of last episode, we know that Dex's mom was getting like weird injections over the course of decades, seemingly. I think we should also remember too that at the end of in the episode where Dex found his mom dead, at the end of that episode, Anna supposedly was going to go meet Miss Preacher somewhere and get more intel. That was not again referenced in this episode, that she had it went and had a conversation with Miss Preacher, and I found that incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, that's a big hole.
Like, they had posed that at the end of the episode as if she was going to get some really important inside information finally from Miss Preacher. And at that point, Anna had also seemed like she was very distrustful of Siobhan. And I felt like we completely ignored
Forgot
that that
that.
even happened.
Yes, I agree. I thought that same thing too. I was like, wait, weren't they supposed to have a conversation already? Wait, hasn't Anna already confronted Siobhan about trusting her and keeping things from her? Like, we just retread a bunch of stuff in this episode.
Yeah, maybe that's why I like the cold open, is because
It was not the rest of the
I'll show
episode.
my cards, and I really did not like the rest of this episode, but let's keep on going. Dex's dad is in the audience here, and again, just continues to fortify his reputation as an A, grade A dickhead.
Horrible.
He says, I'm not going to miss the alimony payments, or something about his dead ex-wife. He also makes a weird comment about to Anna that she's so huge, which obviously is not something you ever say to a pregnant woman, but
No.
also indicating that she might have twins. So I didn't know if like this was a reference to the way that Ivy had twins with Sonia and Adeline. I don't know. But Anna leaves to go follow Miss Preacher to the ER.
Because they're like, she's sedated and they sent her there. That's not how that would happen, but okay, keep going.
Well, so Anna apologizes that she didn't believe Miss Preacher, and I don't know if we're supposed to take from that that she went and listened to her and didn't believe her, but like at this point, why would she not believe her with everything else that's happened to her and all the visions she's having? Miss Preacher like is again on. First of all, I don't believe that they would like take a just randomly take a woman and sedate her with drugs like this and put her in the hospital. Like,
Exactly. That's not how that works.
I have family that has severe mental illness, and that's no, you're not
That
allowed to
is not
just
how that works.
pick somebody up off the street and just give them sedation, and then also just release them into random people's custody. Those things are not things that happen. But she has like this kind of fever dream she wakes up from where she tells Anna that they're gonna like take everything from her. And again, this just feels like retreading the same stuff, right? Your dreams will become a nightmare. It seems to be a reference about what this baby will be.
Nobody ever gives Anna any specifics. It's all spoken so vaguely of they will take it all. Your dreams will become a nightmare. Please get out now. Nothing specific about what she's dealing with over the course of 8 episodes.
Yes. And so Anna falls asleep and then wakes up to Miss Preacher being gone. Did not know this happened. Like the witches came and took her and she didn't even register it. The nurses don't wake her up. They're just gonna like leave her there sleeping while they change the sheets.
And the woman that she's apparently visiting is getting moved, and they just let the woman who's sitting in the chair stay asleep. It no. This is awful. This is not protocol.
Of course, meanwhile, on the TV at the hospital, we see that she gets her Oscar nomination.
This was kind of a
And
funny scene, I thought, with the
so
nurses be like, oh my
everybody,
God.
yeah, and then they start, geeking out about her being there. So we move to where she's like, again, she's looking at clothes for the Oscars with Siobhan. And in a strange, they hear a phone ringing, and in his, I guess, like travel bathroom bag is what I took that to be. Is a flip phone in a little weird pouch,
Yes.
where he's getting a call from an unknown caller, but then she doesn't pick it up, So this is supposed to be our first hint that now Dex has secrets, and this is,
It's kind of a bummer because like he this is up in like in the beginning we're like he seems sort of nefarious, and then the last couple episodes like, oh no, he's just a dummy. And then it turns out no, he's an asshole.
yes, I've got strong things to say about that I'll say in a
Okay,
minute.
anyway. Moving,
Yeah.
we cut away, we move on to the
Well,
fertility clinic.
is it the fertility clinic, though?
Oh,
It seems like they were doing
sorry.
some kind of like
So,
show.
sorry, I wrote down fertility clinic nurse is who she runs into
But that's like.
it's the gift suite at the Oscar Hotel, at the
Okay,
Oscars.
that's what it is. The gift suite of the Oscar Hotel. I mean, there is a good line from Siobhan here about like this is where Harvey Weinstein ejaculated into a plant. How
Yeah,
iconic. Like
I know,
that's.
like, oh my God, can we, ugh,
Yeah.
that horrible human being.
But also in this part, Dex is right behind her, like as they move walk in here, happy, like again, she did not bring this up to him. She did not confirm about any of this stuff. They haven't talked about Miss Preacher, or like, does he wonder why she followed Miss Preacher to the hospital? There's so many logical gaps right now happening in this episode that it almost breaks my brain.
Yeah.
Mysteriously in the crowd, and so yeah, one of my things I wrote in the notes is I was like, Anna's ability to dissociate is spectacular. Mysteriously in the crowd is a person in a hood, and for a second I thought, okay, it's just another one of our, it's Ivy or somebody
Witches,
in
yeah,
our
or
like
demon.
who's watching from afar. But no, it's a the person in the hood is the fertility clinic nurse named Cora, who, let me ask you a question. Before this, did you even really remember her from past episodes?
When the hood was revealed and we see that Anna recognizes this hooded figure as the person who back in like was it episode 1 or 2 was the intruder who broke into her house. We see the face. I'm like, who the is that? And I had to pause and go through the cast to be like, okay, who have we not seen in a long time? And then I finally found that I should have just kept going because she does explain it like the next scene. I had no idea who this was. I had no idea who this was. Did you?
I was like, oh, I recognize this person. At first I was like, oh, is this the pelvic floor doctor
That's who
that
I thought at first, too. I was like,
violated her? But then I went and looked similar to you and I was like, oh no. But the interaction is so strange. First off, like, why do you wear such a noticeable weird hood thing every like is apparently that's what makes Anna notice that she was the one who was in her bed. Again,
Big jump here.
out of nowhere, this puts Cora seems to recognize that Anna is remembering or somehow realizing that she was the one she found in her bed. And without any prompting whatsoever, completely dumps the whole relationship with
Confesses everything.
Dexter, who apparently had bought her an apartment. Set it up with surveillance cameras and then given her a iPad to look at Anna through their surveillance cameras and some kind of weird voyeur sex thing, which made her become obsessed with Anna.
He says he sets up the cameras all over like his house so they can stay connected. But then she says she gets addicted to watching Anna, and then she in turn becomes obsessed and wants to be her. And
Well, so we learned that she was the one sending messages through the calendar and moving the
she
dates
stole her
around.
passwords, yeah.
Yeah, she
And
was. So I guess the twist here is that Cora's not in the demon cult. She's just a jealous mistress.
yeah.
But like, first of all, as to your point exactly, like, kind of a bummer that Dex is such a scumbag after all, because it was kind of a nice realization that he was just a dummy last episode.
Yeah.
There's at one point too where he goes to Cora and he's like, "Oh, we need to talk." And you presume he's going to break it off, but then in a minute later we see she's still in the same condo he bought her, and she still has access to watching Anna on all the cameras, and she still has a key to somehow, I don't know why he would give her a key to Anna's and Dexter's apartment together, and that's why she goes in and writes on the mirror in lipstick and everything like that. I also still don't understand why she would go up to a sleeping Anna and say anything to her to wake her up at all. I mean, I
It
think Anna does say she's a psychopath, but or
really,
so.
but yeah, it's agreed. Everything you just said, I co-sign. And then it turns real quickly into Anna starting to trust Cora because Cora's trying to warn her about all this other shit. So this what happens in these like 2 to 3 minutes or however long it is, this interaction of confession, accusal, and then trust. In a book, I imagine, in this book, I imagine happened over a little bit more of time. I sort of suspect that they wanted to have a big twist in the second to last episode. And so they pushed this, which was in this big reveal. From what I've read, the reveal in the book is much more organic. It like actually happens and unfurls in a much more organic way that makes sense. It does surprise you still without being so knee
Clunky.
jerking, yeah, what the like this who's this like it core is integrated more and it makes much more sense. At least in
This
that
felt
magazine.
no, this felt like completely out of left field. Also, isn't Dexter supposed to be at this gift show too, but he's not at all a part of this interaction? In fact, Anna does not even see him until they're back at the house, in
Yeah.
which the black cat that I think is from the house in the Hamptons happens to be in their house, the same
Yeah.
one that slashed her face, but now it seems to be comfortable being cuddled by her, which I don't know if that's supposed to be some kind of metaphor. And she tells Dex to get out.
The other
And he
thing,
seems to accept that pretty
yeah.
quickly.
Yeah, the one so the other thing that I forgot to mention that you sort of mentioned is Cora was also messing with Anna's like drugs, her those little capsules of whatever the B shots or whatever too, and I think that helped or that drugged her, messed with her time slipping and stuff like that that we saw early on, including how she was messing with her calendar appointments.
Which is it's yeah, again, which
That
is
is
it's all
so like she needs to be arrested, clearly.
she needs to be arrested, clearly. It's also very confusing. I don't know what it adds to the story where it's like, oh, the demon people didn't do all this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Are they gonna be, is it gonna turn out that like all the bad stuff wasn't coming from the demons and actually demons are nice? I don't think so, because we've seen the demons do some pretty bad shit
Yeah.
in flashbacks and things in which Anna was not even involved. But the thing also that Cora shares, which I think is not a surprise to us viewers because we saw it happen even with Miss Preacher, is that Dr. Hill is actually seems to have sold his soul, similar to maybe Dex's dad, to be an ally of the witch cult, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so again, Dexter's out of the picture now, apparently. There's a whole sequence in which Anna wakes up again waking up
Yep.
with scales for legs.
That's what I thought it was. Yeah. Yep.
As Siobhan gets there, runs into the bathroom, starts to kind of like cut them off, goes
I mean,
out.
I was gonna say,
It's a
yeah.
hallucination again, and she was cutting into her own leg.
It was very
So,
Black Swan to me.
yeah, that's a good reference. I don't even
Also, when
know.
she was cutting, I was like, I know they're not going to be there. I know you're just hurting your legs.
Shaving accident, right?
Yeah.
Then in the car on the way to the Oscars,
Oh, wait.
we.
One really good line. Sorry. One really good line that Siobhan drops is like when Anna runs to the bathroom and, and she's like, "I'm pooping," or like, or no, she goes like, "Are you pooping?" And
Yeah.
then I don't know what Anna says, but Siobhan goes, "Plop plop, let's go," or something like that. I thought that was really good.
The best part of this episode is Siobhan's lines, I think.
Yeah, she's got some good ones.
So then they're in the car on their way. It seems like they've already flown to LA, which I think where they must have been because they were at the
They
hotel.
were at the hotel. Yeah, they were there. Yeah,
Yeah.
they're there.
So I guess the black cat was at the hotel in LA.
Yes. Yeah, sorry. I heard you say their home, but yeah, they were
Yeah,
probably
it
in
was the.
their home in LA, or they were in their suite at the hotel for the show, for the
Right,
Oscars.
right, right. And so Anna starts to again probe into Siobhan about like, would you ever lie to me? What about Babette? That seems like an odd coincidence that she died. And she was like, ah, you think I would kill somebody? That's so silly. I'm getting harassed too. Kind of just dismisses it. And of course, Anna's like, oh, of course. There
They've
is a
already
weird
had this
line.
conversation too. It's like wild.
I know, and there is a weird line in here that, and I think Siobhan says about maybe Miss Preacher or something. It's like there's those who lift others up and those who will never get to be who they want to be or something. So
Yeah.
it's obviously indicating like it's again coming back to this theme of like you can't be have career and family and you have to make sacrifices and all that stuff. Of course, when they arrive at the Oscars, Anna runs into a hallucination of Babette with her throat slit that seemed that like. Freaks her out enough to fall down on her pregnant stomach, which
I think
is
with her
that.
head cut off, like, because I think her she lost her whole head. She got detect Didn't she get
That's right.
decapitated
That's right. When
in
she
the
was
accident? Yeah.
giving Roadhead or something. Yeah. Ugh. And yeah, it was. She falls on her stomach, which is also kind of like a. I don't know. That's a cringeworthy moment. But then she says something like, "I gotta trust my body." Again, some foreshadowing of what's about to happen in a moment.
Also, Siobhan's like, "Do you need to go to the hospital? Do we need to get you out of here?" So I just want to point that out because it is so flip-flopped in the next scene.
Because she's giving her an opportunity at
Yeah.
first, which is kind of strange. Like it is weird how she like pushes it and then
And then doesn't, and then pushes the opposite once they get
it's
into the
almost like it's
ceremony.
almost like she's trying to give her an opportunity to I don't know. It
I
like
don't
seems
know
she's
if
really
it's,
committed.
yeah, I was like, I don't know if it's like not great writing that we're not saying consistent with the motives here, or if we are trying to make a point of this is your last chance to get out versus, oh, you're stuck now.
Right. So in the Oscars ceremony, as it's just beginning, Anna starts to have contractions,
Of course.
and Siobhan's like, "Oh, let's just wait till your category," which, I mean, keep in mind how long the Oscars is, and the Best Actress
I
is like
know.
at the very end. That's like 3 hours later. I will say, so it's the time has come. It's the presenter for Best Actress. Did you recognize who the presenter for Best Actress was?
I didn't know. Who was it?
He's got a beard in that one, but it's Hamish Linklater, who is Lily Rabe's husband and who in the Mike Flanagan series Midnight Mass plays the priest who's the main character.
Oh, cool. He did seem like, I was like, this guy seems like he's something, somebody. He's not just a, background guy that they gave a few lines to. He had a presence, so that's
Yeah,
cool.
I love him. So as the announcement's getting made, the contractions pick up. And that's when you have the moment with where Siobhan's like, would you give anything? It's like this is the buildup
We've,
that's supposedly been
yeah.
happening for forever, which I guess we kind of thought that I kind of thought that Anna had already made this commitment because Siobhan's asked
Too.
her a million times, but this seems like it's supposed to be the big moment where she's effectively giving up her baby for success.
Yeah.
Right on the brink here. And of course, Anna says yes. They read her name. She goes up to accept, and this like weird, kind of very creepy slow clap starts, and it's her mom that she sees out in the audience. Then her water breaks, and they escort her off. Dramatic end to the
Yeah.
penultimate episode, right?
Yeah. That last scene, I just don't, like you said, I feel like they've already made this agreement that also we should point out that Siobhan is wearing this really cool, like it's like a snake like necklace, like neck piece that like kind of goes into her cleavage a bit, which, imagery is pretty sweet. But when she puts her hand on her belly, so in the ceremony when Siobhan is like, "No, just stay to your category," obviously that's completely opposite of what she was saying when they were on the red carpet. I don't know how I feel about that. And then when Anna says, like, she shakes her head, yes, would you give anything, when Siobhan has her hand on her stomach, on her belly. Before the winner is read, Siobhan says, congratulations. I thought that was kind of a cool timing thing. And then they have this kiss on the mouth to, like, which is often like symbolic of like the sealing the deal. So this is like the official sealing of the deal. But at this point, I was fully certain that she would pick the career, because we have, again, never seen Anna like express how much she wants to be a mother or show how much she wants to be a mother. Obviously, like, this is sort of a Dex and her relationship thing, but it, to me, I there's just no stakes in this. Like, I don't care if she wins or loses. And I mean, I care about this poor potential baby that is like gonna become a demon more than anything, or what, or gonna get eaten than any of the other characters and what's happening. I just don't have any, it's hard for me to care about Anna too much at this point. How do you feel about this final scene of what is happening and the choice that was made?
I'm not at all. Well, I wish that they would have given us a little bit more tension as to like whether or not she would actually choose the career. But every step along the way, especially, now that she was kind of like with the Dex thing happening too, I feel like it was obvious that that was what she was going to choose. So there wasn't a lot of dramatic tension in that moment, which I think they had tried to conjure up, like, is she going to say it or not? But like, she doesn't seem that excited about the baby, really. So it was, again, of course, excuse me, of course that's what she was going to choose.
This whole Oscars scene and leading up to it, this episode also moved way too quickly. Like, the Oscars gift suite scene, that should have been like a lot, that needed a little more space. Like, we could have handled that like 2 episodes ago to give it the breathing room to get to the big decision at the Oscars, as opposed to like packing this into 1 episode that felt rushed and was all over the place, contradicted things, and there were holes.
I hear you. I kind of wish that this season had been 10 episodes. We somehow had this whole episode be about the Dex reveal and had given it all that much more room for it to breathe and seem authentic. And then next episode could be all about the Oscars, right? But like by cramming them together, and we can talk about this. I mean, let's just go into it and give this thing a review, I guess. The Dex thing was so poorly laid out. There's like the breadcrumbs to it were non-existent, in my opinion, before this episode.
Like, we thought he
Not
was
only
having an
would
affair with Sonya, like
not
that.
only were they non-existent, I felt like they led a different direction. Like that was so clunky and bad that it's hard for me to even like really get around the other pieces of this episode, because my frustration with it feels so palpable. And then it, but and then also the point we were just making discussing about how like you lose all the dramatic tension around what she's actually going to do when she's at the Oscars. And then the Miss Preacher facts, where it was just like totally ignoring, like again, totally ignoring where we left off 2 episodes ago, and that what was supposed to feel like a cliffhanger. This episode is like a complete juxtaposition to what we consider the best episode of the season last episode. I think this episode is the worst episode of the season. I like. I'm really battling to give it either 2 or 2.5, so I'm going to give it 2.25 of whatever of Little Gold Men, I guess.
Oh, there you go.
But I thought it was quite bad. I was very frustrated, and I guess we'll see where this thing shakes out in episode 9.
I mean, everything you said, I've said all the my issues with it. And I was gonna give it 2.5, and I will stand by that 2.5.
I think the other thing I'll add too is like partly that comes from disappointment after having an episode I felt good about
Was
last
strong.
week. And there was no Adeline Sonia at all in this episode. So there was like, it felt like a non sequitur,
I think that, perhaps a season of the tension between Adeline and Sonia would have been a little more interesting. A lot of interesting things happen to Anna, and there's a lot of reveals in this episode, but we already know that Siobhan is working on the bad guys team. We already know that Dex is he's vaguely all over the place. So he's a character that we, even when he was revealed to be a cheater, it doesn't matter. And we already know that Anna and Siobhan have had these agreement conversations in tension over and over again, but it never reveals itself of like moving their relationship forward to more tense. They always just come back to being besties again.
I
If
wish,
the
yeah, sorry.
as I was gonna say, if the relationship had built more toward tension in that limo scene, that would have read and felt much more compelling and dramatic than them finding resolution again. Like there's no tension between them at all.
To a point you made before too about like how everything's been so vague in the way I've talked about it, what would have made even then more powerful, even though I think we still would have known what she would have chosen, is if Siobhan had just straight up said, "Would you give up your baby for this Oscar?" Because then at least it would have been laid out on the table. Like then there might have been more tension because Anne is actually truly thinking of has an opportunity to think of the implications of what all that would mean. And I think it would have made it a lot more dramatic if she'd chosen then the Oscar, because what actually is like, she knows all the terms of the Faustian bargain at that point, right? Like it's very clearly laid out in front of her, where it's still been so vague that like, I'm sure next episode it'll be a shock to her that they want to take her baby. You know what I mean?
I was like, I can give you the. I don't know if you saw the trailer for next week at the end of this episode, but
I didn't watch it.
it's a quick flash of sequences. But essentially, they're in the ambulance going to the hospital. Dex is in the ambulance, it looks like, with Anna. Ivy's driving the ambulance, and then they're in a not a hospital room, but a very creepy, weird-looking room. All of the veiled witches, demons are present in this for while Anna's strapped down giving birth. I think we definitely see I forget what his character's name is, but Dr. Dennis
Hill,
O'Hare.
Dr. Hill, yeah.
Dr. Hill, thank you. He's there. And then Siobhan is saying to the other ladies, like, are you hungry? And something like that. So that is what the final episode at least is gonna have as its crux.
I mean, it doesn't sound like many surprises,
I don't really
except maybe the
want to.
fact
I
that
know.
somehow Dex is back,
I'm not excited.
for it. It's a bummer. It's a bummer. I mean, this episode, our scores here amount to 4¾ gold men, which is, man,
Not
that's among
good.
the worst ratings we've given an episode. But I, I'm sorry. I think the frustration I think we both feel is just very palpable in this one.
Yeah.
So they had the well, and it's frustrating too that like if you were reading that like in the book, the core revelation is much more well done. They had the source material to make this better, you know.
I'm gonna venture, I guess, that they don't have a scene in the book about Rosemary's baby. Maybe, and there's a way to reference it, like make a quick joke. We didn't need a whole scene on it. I mean, I don't know.
I think the
We've
reason I even
decided.
said I liked it again is because I just thought it was
The
like
rest of it
I liked it
sucked.
better than the rest, and I thought the actress who played Mia Farrow, whose name was, I have it written down here, Gabby, where is it? Sorry, Gabby Sleep, who has really only been in like Law and Order, like she hasn't been in much
Okay.
stuff. I thought she did a pretty good job,
She was very, yeah. She had that delicate quality to her. Oh, delicate.
delicate condition. Anyway, wow. Okay. Well, folks, thanks for joining us for our Little Gold Men. I don't even know what to call this, cathartic
Release.
release of some kind. We will see what next episode holds when we next week discuss the finale. Again, the finale recording might be delayed a couple days as we just kind of figure out scheduling. We want to make sure we kind of give the season it's due diligence when we have time to talk about it. But up until then, we hope you all have a lovely week, and we'll see where this thing takes us. Anything you want to say before we sign off, Chris?
No, but I am going to check to see what the differences between the book and the show have been so far, so I can talk about that next week.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. Well, until next time, folks, happy hauntings.